457.
Oh, the sweet old gospel story, how it gives the gift of life. Oh, from the land, from earth to glory, God would die and be with his life. He would die and be with his life.
Shall we pray from your
cast your bread upon the
shall rise. Get your bread upon the water, never ending it delays. For there's one to be journey through after many days. Children, then should serve each other.
Take my life and let it be. I surrender it, Lord, to thee. Take my hand and let it move. At the end of some love, Lord, I give my life to thee. Thine forever.
Amen. Good to see each of you. Trust that the Lord has been gracious to you this week and provided those things such as you stand in need of for those that are in way of problems in life, afflictions, valley as we walk, that the Lord has brought you out and give you strength to be here today. We do appreciate all the visitors to come and be with us day and for other days that can visit with us. We appreciate your attendance here with us at the church. We're glad to have, thankful to have Elder Dan Parker from Afton Road Church and Dan back with us again this year. We appreciate him coming and filling the form here for the Church of Wolf Cove. Brother Raymond, you have several to make mention of, and go right ahead.
Sister Zoo Emanuel, I talked to her this morning, and she was hoping to get to come to church tomorrow, but she wasn't sure that she wouldn't be able to do it. Brother Odell and Sister Merrill, I talked to her this morning, too. She said she's been having a lot of trouble with that she's got her neck and different things, but they are about the same as they were. I had heard from Sister Susan Lester this week. Have you?
I heard she went back to the hospital. That's all I heard.
That's what I heard last week, but I hadn't heard it. Sister Grace Neal, I seen her down at the nursing home the other day, and she was just sitting there. She'll kind of groan a little bit if you ask her how she's doing. Hallelujah. She's 100 years old, so anyway, expect that. Sister Bella Thrumart is back in the hospital with pneumonia again. And she's, she thought they'd go put her in another room, didn't they? She's had pneumonia, I know, twice this year. And Sister Kathleen Hutchins, Lula's sister, is out here at Walkertown. She's, fell out in the yard. Hit her head there. They had put some stitches in it, but they sent her home, and she had to go back, and she has a bruise. So she's out there in the hospital now, and they're going to try to get a little bit of sticks in her, see if they can get her back to maybe
Brother Garner, my aunt, Carl Stone, preacher at Clear Springs, wife, B.D. Stone, died this morning at 3 o'clock. She would be a colonial funeral home about and a funeral would be a Clear Spring. They were not sure by what time. That's what Kid told me a while ago.
Is Ellen Stone's widow?
Yes. 90 years old.
You should have to be able to know exactly what her age was. Is anyone else?
Elder Brad.
Did Elder Connor, did he, you know, if he had his surgery on his carotid artery?
I talked to Sister Lucy the other day in Stewart, and she said that he was not able to have it because of a kidney problem.
Okay. Well, that's the last word that I've had from him. So. Lord willing, the annual meeting for the Church of Northview will be second Sunday in July. Elder Jeff Whitaker and Elder Wayne Gravely will be with the church at Northview, Lord willing, for annual meeting, and we certainly extend an invitation to everyone to come and be with us. Y'all have a number?
173.
And we'd ask that you remember Elder Parker as he comes, so that the Lord would give him the liberty to call him to preach to us as we come to see number 173.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope on lives to come, our shelter from the stormy west, and our eternal
Christ that'll last forever no matter the circumstance of our lives. We beg
Heavenly Father, for our brother as he comes this evening, that he might have deliverance of the Holy Spirit, that the windows of heaven that thou would open unto him, that he would speak and cry out unto the name of Christ our Lord. Bless, O Lord, the church, that we might have hearing ears and understanding hearts, that we might rejoice in the things that are set forth of thy goodness that's here in the church that thou hast established. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, that it's unchanged from the day that thou hast set it up, that Christ furnished it with everything that we stood in need of then, and it's even so in this good hour. Bless them, Heavenly Father, by thy mercies for these things we trust that we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Elder Dan Parker.
Appreciate the invitation to come and be with you this afternoon, and it's a delight and pleasure to be here. I thank God for his mercy upon us and his grace that is so abundant to us that we're able to be out here on Saturday afternoon. I appreciate the prayer, appreciate your prayers, and as I stand before you, I trust that you'll remember me, that the Lord might bless me to feed you upon the gospel, to feed your souls, and to impart some knowledge to you that we might draw closer to the Lord. I'm thankful that Brother Milton is doing well and from his surgery, and he's getting around good and preaching. How important and how valuable the church is here in this dark world. We're living in a wicked society, a wicked generation, which it just didn't happen. I mean, we've been living in a wicked generation ever since Adam fell, but there are times that it seems that it's worse than others, and that men exercise their depravity more freely. But the church is the light of the world, and the light that comes from Jesus Christ, because when he was here in the world, he was the light of the world. And of course, the church being related to Christ by the Spirit, she's the light here in this world. Believers in Christ are very valuable. Their fellowship is valuable. I don't know what I would do without the fellowship of the Lord's people, of the church here in this life. It's a strength to us. We can strengthen one another, encourage one another along the journey of life. I have on my mind this afternoon the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, I'll start with verse 17. Jude wrote, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude wrote to the saints of God. In the very beginning of this book, he addresses those that he is writing to, that he is the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. To them who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now that's who he's writing to. Sanctified by God the Father. So we know where that this sanctification came from. From God the Father. He is the author of the sanctification of these people. Now I believe that this sanctification is the sanctification in eternity, because it's the sanctification of God the Father. Now there's various phases of sanctification, but this sanctification occurred before the world began, before the creation of this universe, in God the Father, and by God the Father, he set apart a people for his glory, to fulfill his purpose, and to bring them into his holy presence. Now there is a sanctification that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought upon the cross, sanctified by his body. And then there is a sanctification of the Spirit, that is the application in our lives, in our hearts, of setting us apart vitally. But this sanctification deals with the initial sanctification of God the Father before the world began, of setting his people apart. And of course, he chose his people in Christ before the world began. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, here we have a preservation. We have the sanctification, we have the preservation. Preserved in Christ Jesus. Did you know that we were preserved in Christ Jesus, our lives, even before that we existed in this world? We were preserved in Christ. That is, our very lives. You say, well, how could our lives be preserved when we didn't even exist? But God knew our existence. He loved his people, and he saw our existence. He loved his people, and he preserved them in Christ Jesus. We are preserved in our natural lives, our existence in Christ Jesus. We are preserved in our eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. We are preserved. Now that's in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that do not believe in the doctrine of preservation, that is, of God's people being preserved. But since we're in Christ, and Christ is eternal, and Christ is indestructible, and Christ will never cease, then we are safe, aren't we, in Christ Jesus. And then he says, called. That's the actual calling by the Spirit. Calling from death to life. Calling out of sin into spiritual life. Imparting or inscribing in our hearts the Spirit of God, and imparting unto us that divine nature that is created in us, taking our spirit or our soul that was dead in sin and making it alive in Christ Jesus. That is the effectual calling of the Spirit. That is the Spirit who reaches every one of those that are sanctified by God the Father, that are preserved, he calls. And that calling is not from the preacher. Preacher has nothing to do with it. It's not from angels. It's not from any agency in this world. But it's the Spirit of God who communicates life to our souls. And that's why we are alive in Jesus Christ. But I want to deal with the text and several texts, but as Jude wrote to these children of God, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." Now, there is an obligation or a responsibility to God's people that have been called by His grace and have been blessed with the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to build up yourselves. Now, does that mean that we can do that of ourselves and by ourselves? No. I believe we have to have the assistance of God's Spirit, the Holy Comforter, to build up ourselves. But it's still our responsibility. You see, we're not passive in that. As God's children, we are not passive in building up ourselves on our most holy faith. You see, that's a very important word, on your most holy faith. We are to build up ourselves, and therefore, every one of us as individuals have that obligation and that responsibility as God's born-again people to build up ourselves upon our most holy faith. You see, we have a foundation, don't we, that we can build up. And that foundation, that the faith that God has blessed us to embrace, it is a firm foundation. It's in God's Word. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to build ourselves up. We can edify. You know, the church is to be edified. How is the church edified? It's edified by the preaching of God's Word. It is built up by hearing and obeying God's Word. That's how we build ourselves on our most holy faith. And he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's a very important part of building up ourselves on our most holy faith, is praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that we have that avenue of prayer, that we can come before God and pour out our hearts before Him. I'll tell you, without the throne of grace, where would we be in our life? How could we have the strength to go on if we didn't have the throne of grace, that we could reach up in prayer and touch the very heart of God, and God bows down His holy ear and hears our cries and our prayers and answers our prayers. And He is the one that can do something about whatever difficulty we're in. Makes no difference what it is, how deep we feel to be in need of help. He is our helper. And so we can build up ourselves on our most holy faith in praying in the Holy Ghost. That is, the Holy Ghost is our assistant. He is our teacher. He's our guide. He's our leader. He holds us up. He helps us. He bears us up, doesn't He? Oh, the Spirit of God the Father, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We can't see Him, but we sure know He's near, and we can feel Him in our hearts. The Spirit, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying, praying. You know, that's something you can't do too much, is pray. We can pray, have that attitude of prayer in our lives, to communicate with God our Father and our Savior, Christ Jesus, our High Priest, in the Holy Ghost. You know, not all praying is in the Holy Ghost. Now, all true praying is in the Holy Ghost, but not all praying is of the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost and in the Holy Ghost. There are some prayers that are just carnal. But if it's in the Holy Ghost, you can be well assured it'll be heard and it will be answered in God's way. Then he says, keep yourselves. Now, that's our responsibility. And he's not talking about keeping yourselves so you can live with God in heaven. are keeping yourselves as a child of God, but keep yourselves in the love of God. What I believe that means is that we keep a warm heart. Keep yourselves in the love of God. When we think about God's love for us and what it means to us and how it has affected us and our life and the love that is wrought in us, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in that warm frame. Keep a flame burning in your hearts for your God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Jesus Christ, aren't we? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Christ to return. What are we doing here this afternoon? We're here to worship God. We're here to hear the gospel. And we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking for our Lord Jesus Christ to come. We're looking for that abundant mercy to be manifested in this place. Even though we have received mercy, we're looking for mercy. The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're looking for a life that is far better than this life, aren't we? We're looking for something that is better than this world. We have another country that we're pressing toward. That's what we're doing as we live in this world as God's children. We are seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're moving out of this world. All of us are going to move out of this world. We're going to die. That's irresistible, irreversible, unless Jesus comes back before that time. But we're all moving out. This old house is going down, this old tabernacle. But we have a building of God in heaven, not made with hands. We're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But for the remainder of the sermon, I want to focus our minds on verse 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, in all of our articles of faith that I've read in the Primitive Baptist, we believe that the saints of God are preserved, or that they have salvation given unto them, and they cannot lose eternal salvation. They cannot lose their eternal life. They can never be severed from God's love for them. We cannot be severed from Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No matter what comes in this life, no matter what happens, no matter of our earthly state, we can never lose what God has given to us. I was in a restaurant here a few weeks ago in the Mayflower in Danville, and it's a couple that I know that are not Primitive Baptists, but he did a lot of work for me, and I became very close to him and acquainted with this man and his wife. But we tease one another. He says, you know, you'd be all right if you'd come over to us and be converted. And I was teasing him back. And I said, well, I was looking for you in church today. You'd be better off if you'd be converted and be an old Baptist. He said, and anyway, his wife, she said, I want to ask you a question. He said, do Primitive Baptists believe once saved, always saved? She said, I got a fella in my Sunday school class I can't convince him of that. I said, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe what is written in God's Word. Yeah, we're strong on that. That once God saves a person, he meant to save them, and he'll keep them saved. They'll never cease to be a child of God. They can't be unborn. She said, that sounds good. And I quoted several scriptures. She says, we need to go hear him preach. And I said, do you have any sermons? I said, yeah, I have a DVD on that very subject. She said, would you send it to me? So I sent it off a few weeks ago. I hope they sat down and watched it. But anyway, it's a sermon on the preservation of God's saints.